person speak about their lifetime and what they have been through, you can see and relate to their feelings. Sometimes you compare their feelings to your life experiences. A boundary is a line that crosses your comfort zone. When someone crosses a boundary with you, you learn what your boundaries are and distinguish your feelings to that person. In this show, we are going to be discussing emotional, physical, and personal boundaries that were crossed in people's lives. Listen to their stories and learn all about this.
In this piece, it will be a story of how boundaries are crossed and how boundaries are set in everyday life. What do you believe a boundary is?
I believe a boundary is a limitation that basically allows you to go a certain distance and no more. Basically, sort of like what a dog has there. They have their boundaries, or our dogs have boundaries. It's the backyard. They can go as far as the fence will let them.
Have you ever crossed a boundary in your everyday life?
Yeah, ethnic boundaries every day. I meet and ride with people every day on the train.
What type of boundaries do you believe you have yourself?
I have my work. I have my home life.
Do you think these boundaries, coincide with your personality?
My personality is molded to the boundaries.
Why do you think boundaries are important?
Because you have to set limitations for yourself, or else you wind up getting out of control. And control is something that you do need to have.
What made you ever cross boundaries one point in time in your life?
When I graduated high school, I started working and going into the work world. That's going from the school life to the work life. And then, of course, they're going into social life. When I had at 21, was able to go to the bars or go to nightclubs, that was a social boundary there that was crossed.
Do you think that these boundaries, affected where you chose to go and everything?
In some way, yes. In some way.
would you go to, say, a bar if you had different types of friends?
It depends on what the friends were, what the friends liked to do. Didn't always go to bars. We went to concerts. We also went to sporting events. So it all depends on what my friends wanted to do. There was basically what we did. We always sat and discussed things in advance.
Have you ever thought a boundary that you crossed would affect you in the long term?
Yeah, going into the work world. That's a boundary there that everybody's going to cross. One doesn't spring to mind. So I can honestly say there hasn't been anything there that has occurred in my life that I wasn't in agreement with.
Can you give me an event where you crossed a boundary?
Well, like I said, when I graduated high school, going from the school boundaries, going into the work boundaries, going in from being single to married life, going into being just a husband to being a father. Basically there was lots of boundaries there that I've crossed in my life.
In the past, if somebody else crossed a boundary that would affect you, did you ever do anything to try to stop them?
If it was going to be detrimental to either my safety or to their safety or both our safety, or if it was going to have an effect there where we would be limited in what we were able to do, things would have been more strict, then yes. Yes, there was times there that I've actually had to speak up and say, this is what's going on, in order for the authority to come in and maybe reset their boundaries on what they could and couldn't do.
Can you give me an example of one of these times?
Case in point, when I worked for a supermarket, we had a forklift that was used, and we were always told by upper management never to operate the forklift in a manner that would cause it to tip, or we would, or since we were in close quarters, knock into something, knock it over, because that cost the store money. So there was one time there that somebody was using it. They were driving entirely too fast, and they were going to either A, tip it over, or B, they were going to knock something over. So I went to management about them, and they were taken off of it and told never to use it again.
Do you feel
so that there was a boundary there that they were told they were forbidden for using that piece of equipment?
Do you feel that affected your relationship with that person in any way?
Yeah, in a way there, they were kind of resentful there that I had told on them. And I basically would, you'd find that with just about anybody who didn't think they were doing anything wrong. He was going quickly there in order to keep things moving and get things ready quicker. And what he was only serving to do was just cause a health hazard because somebody would have wound up getting hurt.
Do you feel as you were growing up through your childhood that you had to cross any boundaries?
Yes, you go from being a child to a teenager, from being a teenager to a young adult. Now, I know nowadays they classify being a teenager as a young adult, but when I grew up there, you didn't become a young adult until you were of voting age, and that was 18. So 18 to like 25, you were considered a young adult.
So. Did any of like your childhood boundary crossing ever like affect anybody around you?
Yeah, my tastes in food and my entertainment. So yeah, I went into different boundaries that did affect the financial aspect of another person's life.
Do you feel as a kid you had any say on what boundaries anybody else crossed?
No. Because basically there was no need for me to speak up. My mother set the boundaries, this is what she expected, and that's what I did.
Did you ever feel that if you were to have spoken up, it would have changed the outcome of your viewpoint?
If it was done respectfully and it was actually I had a point, then yes.
This is a second interviewee's way that they solve the same questions and how they answer them. What do you believe a boundary is?
Well, I believe that a boundary is a limit that a person sets for himself, his or herself, or others. It could pretty much be something as simple as a life setting, like, well, their personal set of rules, like what they allow, what they don't allow. Or it could be something on a large scale, like actual boundary. I have a personal rule that states that I don't agree with violence toward women, and that's a boundary that if someone crosses, then it'll kind of set me off on them.
Do you have any boundaries that you have ever crossed?
Well, I try to cross my boundaries with other people. I try to be friendly and make new friends and everything. And I find that it's necessary in life to cross boundaries and expand your horizons.
What made you cross these boundaries?
Most of the time it was necessity. Like, it can be something as easy as taking lead in a situation at school, or even going to job interviews and expanding your boundaries to other places.
Do you think when you crossed the boundary before it ever affected you in the long term?
A lot of the friends that I have now are a result of me being more bold and crossing boundaries that I had put up for myself.
Do you think somebody else in your life has ever affected you from crossing a boundary?
I would say that my parents have affected my crossing of certain boundaries. I know that there are certain things that I wouldn't do because they have taught me not to do certain things. So, like, growing up, I would think that I couldn't get into fights and everything. And because of that, I put a boundary up that pretty much kept me from other people. And most of the time, I would change the way I would act towards others because I didn't want my parents or anyone to disapprove of me.
Well, thank you for your interviewing time.
No problem.
In this segment, I interview my two cousins, Monica and Allison, as they tell me stories about family, friendship, and boyfriends. They tell us all about crossing boundaries in relationships.
When I hear the word boundary, I guess I think about borders and limits and things that you either don't feel comfortable with, or it's things that you set up for yourself that you either don't like to cross or you don't want other people to cross.
Monica tells us briefly about her childhood before getting into the memories.
I had a sister that I was really close with when I was very young. Then my younger sister was born a little bit after when I was about 6. And that kind of shook things up a little bit. But, we just played outside all the time. My mom spent a lot of time with us when we were little, so that was good. She didn't work, so she stayed home, and we always did stuff together during the day and spent a lot of time together.
This is a memory of what Monica had when she was younger and her sisters crossed boundaries with her.
When we were younger, she would love to just, when I was in, like, the bathroom, either getting ready or take a shower or whatever, just come in and be like, rah, and try to scare me and everything. And that always crossed a boundary with me. I didn't think that that was funny. I just would get really upset and mad, which is probably why she did it in the first place. But that was always kind of interesting. And
now Allison shares a little bit of her experiences.
I would say that when they ask me questions about how my feelings are, that I feel like they're crossing a boundary, that they know that I don't like talking about feelings.
Now transferring over to friends, the girls talk about their friendships and then have stories about how they were put in difficult situations when their friends crossed boundaries with them.
I have like a very close group of girlfriends that I feel comfortable telling them something and they can feel comfortable telling me stuff. I think I've always had like a close group of friends.
Around late junior high, early high school, I kind of changed my group of friends, and I started getting closer with a group of about, like, 8 to 12 girls, and they're kind of like a second family in a way. We were close, and we shared a lot of things together, feelings and everything.
Now on to their stories about their friends crossing boundaries.
Go ahead.
I was very close with a girl, friend of mine in junior high school, and we hung out all the time, 24/7 together. We were extremely close, and then there was conflicts with us because we started hanging out with this group of guys that we became close friends with, and you know, one of the guys was wanting to have a relationship with me, but I was already in a relationship, so it caused this friction between us to the point where he didn't want anything to do with me then. So then she just kind of became their friends and kind of kicked me out of her friendship because they entered her friendship. And for me, that kind of crossed the friendship girls before dudes line. And then I just thought that that crossed a lot of crappy lines. I now have close friends that would never do that to me, ever.
And here's Monica's story.
One was when I was very young, like eight-ish, something like that. I had this one friend, this girl, who just, she kind of just like put me down a lot, like kind of all of the time, pretty much. And she would make fun of me, blah, blah, blah. And she'd be like, oh, I'm just kidding, blah, and everything. But she wasn't kind of just kidding. And, you know, it makes you feel bad about yourself. You don't want to make feel bad about yourself. So I let her know, like, that's it. If you do it again, we're not going to be friends. Like, I'm letting you know this is what I'm setting up right now. And she was like, okay. And then she did it, though. She still kept doing it. And I said, okay, well, I said we're not going to be friends. And that was it. And I ended that friendship. And it was a really good thing for me to do because I went on to meet friends that were better for me.
Now, moving on to relationships, Allison talks about her first crush.
Well, my first, like, kid crush would be, you know, just the, like, cute kid in elementary school. But that, like, doesn't really count. But then when I got into junior high school in seventh grade, I met my crush, and we ended up going out for 5 years. And it was a pretty serious relationship, and we shared a lot of stuff together. I always felt pretty safe and secure and comfortable, and if there was anything that was, you know, not so comfortable, it was addressed, and the adjustments was made. It was pretty nice. And
now Monica?
I still remember my first little crush. It was in, oh gosh, I don't even think I was in elementary school yet. And it was our next door neighbor. So it was literally just a little crush on the boy next door. And, you know, I've had little crushes like that all throughout my life, most definitely. I'm always crushing on someone, pretty much. I guess most recently I had a big crush on somebody that I worked with, and it didn't really work out the way I wanted it to, but that's how it goes sometimes.
Monica talking about her most recent crush and how it really didn't work out that well.
Most recently, I regret not being more upfront with my feelings and saying, like, hey, I like you. not just as, like, a friend or anything like that, but I really do like you, and I like to go out or whatever, because then the time kind of passed. The window, I think, that I had kind of passed with him, and now he's, you know, going out with somebody else. So it kind of, you know, you regret things.
Now, lastly, the girls talk about how they cross boundaries with other people, whether it was family, friends, or in relationships.
With friends, I've probably crossed a boundary, probably with saying something that I know would hurt their feelings, kind of like a tough love thing, I guess. Yeah. You know, saying something to kind of wake them up and realize, you know, you got to make a change. So I think that crosses a boundary because I know how they are, but I do it anyway because it's how I am.
And now Monica talks about how when she crossed boundaries with her mother.
I am very opinionated, though. So sometimes I think my opinions, yeah, you're making a face, I know. My opinions sometimes can get on people's nerves, and I understand that, and I realize it. She gets frustrated with me, and I know that she does, and we talk about it. It's not like we ignore it. She gets very upset with me. She says I'm entering her pain body.
The girls talk about how to avoid boundaries and make better relationships for the future.
I would just think communication, being open, being clear about what your boundaries are, and maybe even being a little bit more relaxed, at least for me, would help a lot.
Open to changing things, to compromise with people.
Yeah.
I would say.
Compromise is key.
Compromise.
And to not be scared of new experiences and changes.
Change. Change is big.
Going through life is hard. Facing challenges is harder. Being judged by society can really change a person's life. Society has an expectancy level that all people are supposed to achieve, and they set an image on how every person is expected to live or look. There are some people that go outside the boundary of society and express themselves in different ways, changing your hair or changing your eyes, even down to changing your gender. A boundary is a line that crosses your comfort zone. When someone crosses a boundary with you, you learn what your boundaries are, and you distinguish that feelings to one person. So, Aubrey, do you believe in boundaries, or do you believe that you have any certain boundaries in your life?
Yeah, everybody got boundaries, like different types of boundaries, boundaries where people don't want to do stuff, like all kinds of stuff. A boundary is just basically someone's limit, like to where they can't take them where they be pushed.
Being transgender would be considered one of your boundaries. Would you feel offended if anyone crossed that boundary or made you feel uncomfortable?
Yes, I would, because me being 20 years old, I'm going through the process of changing or transitioning, or whatever. So there is like boundaries I have, there's boundaries other people have, or whatever. So me being 20 years old transitioning from male to female, I know, like, there's going to be a lot of, you know, hatred and, like, judgment and whatever. At the end of the day, that's my boundary. That's my life I want to live.
This process isn't easy. So what do you consider, like, the biggest struggle?
Struggle for me was telling my family about my process.
So do you think your family is accepting or no? Do you think that you crossed their boundaries by telling them?
For the most part, my family is accepting because at the end of the day, I'm still the person, you know, they knew and loved, so they have no other choice but to accept it or whatever. I know I crossed my father's boundaries because, like, you know, he, you know, had loved me as someone else, and it was just hard for him to know that he has to love me as another person.
You and your father doesn't have the best relationship, so, like, do you think he'll come around?
I think for the most part he's going to come around because for the longest time it was just nothing but me and my dad, and so I'm all he knew. So, like, it's going to take some time for him to, you know, to get to the point where as though he can accept it and it's like me. But for the most part, I guess he'll be okay.
All right, so, like, do you believe you were born this way? Or, like, do you think it's a change or just a phase you're going through? Like,
For the most part, I think I was born this way because for the most part, I had the deepest desire, like, or whatever, to always feel as though I was feminine or to feel as though I was a woman. Like, I never felt as though I was born a boy, or I never wanted to play basketball. I never wanted to do, like, you know, male characteristics. Like, I always felt as though I always wanted to do, you know, female things.
So, was your mom a big influence? What happened with her?
My mother died of a drug overdose. And I was 2 years old, and I was in a hospital for 3 days while she was deceased. No way to a phone, no way to get in contact with anyone. And the only way someone knew that I was in there with my mother at 2 years old was because she was answering her phone, calling, and making calls.
Something tragic like that can really influence your decisions in life. Do you think, like, you have any regrets or anything?
I regret getting having a criminal background, whatever. You know, again, with shoplifting. I regret having a criminal background, but, like, that's my boundary or whatever, because I feel as though shoplifting to me is just, like, it's a high I get. It's like, most people do drugs to get high, most people do, you know, drink to feel that high. It's a high I get. It's like, I can't explain it or whatever. Like, it's that I do want to change the shoplifting in my life, because, you know, I always don't want to be seen as a shoplifter or, you know, always having to go in the store and still, you know, sometimes it feels good to buy things out of stores.
With your past and your records, people have to view you a certain way. How do you think people perceive you?
My family and friends, they probably view me as, you know, a funny person, a careful person, a caring person, always there for everybody in my family. I can't really, you know, describe how strangers can view me or whatever. I mean, to some people, transitioning and being, you know, whatever, it's to them is a down, like they feel as though that's not accepted, or, you know, why are you doing this or whatever. And to some people, they can't, they don't like it. It's like a hate crime towards transgender and, you know, flamboyant males and females or whatever, because they feel as though that's not accepted or whatever. But everyone has their own way of what they want. It's always that feeling of, are they going to look at me different? Like, even though you're comfortable in your own skin, you always going to need a support system. Your family, your friends always need a support system. So if you don't have them, you don't have nobody.
Wow, you have a very interesting life. So if you were to give advice to any transgender or any female or male going through transformation process, what would it be?
And to anyone who else is transitioning, I would tell them to always feel comfortable in your skin. Don't ever let, you know, people bring you down, people tell you can't do it, or it's like, again, boundaries, or you have to be a certain weight, you have to be a certain height, you have to be a certain complexion, you have to be a certain, you know, shoe size or whatever. Like, those are another boundaries that people tell you, or it's transitioning. Always be yourself, always feel free. You know, Lady Gaga said it the best way, you were born this way. Never let nobody tell you different. That's why I could mostly open up and tell anyone who is listening, or, you know, or whatever.
And your greatest impact was your father. Could you give us your last thoughts about anything about him or how he changed or affected your life?
He didn't, you know, graduate high school or attend college. So his dream, he wanted me to live his dream out through him. Like, he wanted me to, you know, go to a good school, graduate, go to college or whatever, because that's what he wanted to do with his life. So he basically was living his life through me. So that was basically his boundary of basically, you know, reliving his life through me. So, like, my accomplishments would be his accomplishments.
With that being said, you're 20 years old now. So, like, what direction is the rest of your life going? What do you plan on doing?
You know, opening my own hair salon. After I get, you know, my license from attending hair school, I do want to open my own hair salon. I do want to be successful. For the most part, that's about it. I don't want to be just another statistic or whatever. So I'm starting to, you know, vamp and, you know, become, you know, think about the things I want to do in life and what I want to do.
Out of all the choices and decisions in your life, do you regret anything?
I don't regret nothing in my life because I think that made me to the person I am today. Some things I wish I did differently, but I never regret anything, any decisions or actions I ever did.
You've heard it first. The story and the life of Aubrey Jenkins, 20-year-old transgender.
Because where I was from Trinidad, and we had a president for years ruling. But when John F. Kennedy came and sang, we all, for some reason, John F. Kennedy was one of our favorites, knowing that the United States of America had this president of John F. Kennedy. So everyone had loved John F. Kennedy. I don't know for what reason why, but I grew up here and my parents said, they could not pick a better president. But it so happened his lifespan of being a president was cut short. So we never really see the outcome of what he could have really have done. But we, in the Island people, we do look at presidents in other countries. And we know who, although we don't live here, we wasn't living here, we was listening to the news and we already had selected him to be president, although we couldn't have voted for him. But we listened to, you know, his belief and what he could have done for the country. So I know about John F. Kennedy. I also know about Martin Luther King. We prayed for him also because he had good intentions for, we don't do color in the islands. We do what the people stand for. So it wasn't a color thing. It was what the person stand for, their belief. And their belief, the way how they were presenting their belief, is the belief that we had believed in, that I was brought up in.
Can you explain more about that?
I just did.
About their beliefs.
to believe is what the people stand for. To be stand for everyone. It wasn't a picking and choosing of color, race, how much money you have, or what real materialistic thing you have. Is the belief in the person, and you know the person projected himself to say that they really were out for everyone, not color or anything, not race, no nothing. There was no discrimination with their belief. We listened to what they had to say. Just like Obama today. You know, I really believe that he was really out for everyone. But he was more stressing on the poor people. That's why we voted Obama. But I don't think they give him... people give him a chance. But his administration is not giving him a chance. They want him to fail so bad. And I could see it. They want him to fail so bad. And I guess this has to do with... You may not like what I'm saying here now. This has to do with color. But he's not into color. He's not into black, white, however y'all call it, Hispanic, whatever, you know. He's not into all that. He into everyone supposed to have an equal share. And that's the bottom line. And that's what Kennedy, like, I can't talk about, what's the old presidents and stuff, because I probably was too young in those days. But I always look up at their belief, and I really think that Obama was really into everyone as having an equal share, just like Martin Luther King said, and just like JFK, if he had gotten a chance, that's exactly what he would have done. Everyone would have an equal share. Tell you what, I had stopped eating chickens because the amount of chickens we killed, I didn't want to eat them anymore because we raised them, and then to watch them die, I had stopped eating chickens.
Is that why Uncle Raw, Uncle Graffy?
That's why Uncle Raw and Graffy became a
vegetarian.
They didn't eat them, eat eggs. Well, we had ducks, we had chickens, we had pigs, we had goats, plus the kids.
So you had a farm?
It wasn't a farm, it's just that, and we had a dog, and we had a cat. It wasn't a farm, it's just that that's the life that we eat what we, okay, we buy the chicks, we raise them, the chicks make chicks, the ducks make ducklings, well, not a chick, it's gotta be, the chickens make chicks, and the ducks make ducklings, and what my mother used to do, and they hatch eggs. So what my mother used to do, if we were, the ducks make ducklings like crazy. You get like 16 ducklings for one duck. The chickens, you get 6 and 8 with one chicken. So they were coming so fast. So what she did, if the neighbors didn't have, she used to kill them. Once they mature, pluck them and sell them to the neighbors. And the eggs that hatched, it was so many eggs, we can't eat all those eggs. Don't matter if she had 7 kids, it was a lot of eggs. Eggs was coming out every day. So the neighbors bought the eggs, and it was cheap. So they didn't mind buying eggs, and they bought the eggs, and they bought the chicken. She killed them, and she plucked them. Even goats. I remember when my sister got married, one of our goats, my dad killed, and we cooked the goat. We had goat meat for my sister's wedding. So it is something that she did when the kids were off to school. She had something to do besides washing the clothes. Everything I did, if it didn't work out, is I learned from it. It's not a regret. Because you learn from your mistakes. It's not to regret anything. You just look at your life and say, well, that was a mistake I made. Next time, I would not make that mistake again. And I don't know three strikes you out. You know that. One is enough for me. And I move on from there. It's not regret. Some good, some bad. But at the end of the day, they're my siblings. Everybody's not the same. Everybody got their own mind. People do things differently. You may like what this person did. You may not like what that person do. But at the end of the day, what could you do? But you wouldn't let them run you over.
And since I have had my experience starting in Sacramento when I after tech school, I knew how to do that, and I became in charge of base supply at night, and they would have somebody calling in from the that particular aircraft, who was this other, another supply guy.
Yeah,
and I got to meet or talk to some of them, and I'll never forget the one night I was talking to this kid who's from Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And he was around my age, and we were talking about, oh, did you go to dances when you were home, back when you were in high school? So, yeah, I used to do that. But big, back then, the big thing was Motown.
Yeah.
Motown sound. I said, yeah, we used to do that, all that kind of crazy stuff. And so, you know, there's somebody you can talk to. And you know how hard it is to find somebody who gets your humor?
It's very hard.
Sometimes, you know, you can be joking around, and they don't get it.
Think you're serious.
Other guys are just trying to be too cool for school.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody makes their own decision who you want as a friend.
Yeah.
So I was talking to this kid, Al. And that morning we got rocket attacked. I wasn't off duty yet, but we got rocket attacked. And they said, did you hear what happened? I said, oh, such and such squadron. I can't remember the name of the squadron. A bunch of the mortars came in on them. They killed some guys as they were trying to get into the bunker. And so some of us went up there, and you could smell the burnt flesh, the meat hanging on nails.
Yeah.
Because where the rocket came in, it like split up the concrete bunker right there. Just like opened it up. And Al was one of the guys that was going into the bunker at the time. And he had his leg blown off. And so the sad thing for me was, I was just talking to that guy about dancing.
Yeah. And now
he's not more than 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And he got off at 6. He got attacked between 6 and 7. So I don't know whatever happened to him because, you know, something like that, you're moved on.
Yeah.
But that's the luck of the draw.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, when you get mortared and those pieces of shrapnel fall down, like you have a flak jacket on and have a hard metal helmet. And there was a little bunker between two buildings when I worked.
Mm-hmm.
So if we got attacked that way, I remember going into the bunker and with sandbags and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear all this stuff falling down.
Trickling down all the time.
But it's like it's not coming into our little crawl space. But that's all it takes is like a little bit of inconvenience.
Yeah.
Throw that metal at you.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely could tear you up.
Oh, yeah.
So that I think that would be the low point, you know, and the irony that we made a friend and lose a friend that quickly.
Yeah.
The high point was, I had a friend who lived around the corner from me in Philadelphia.
Okay. What was his name?
Jim Rose.
Okay.
He was an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And He was drafted into the Army. Jim did his little bit of tour down there in North Carolina, and then he was sent over to Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Before I went to Vietnam, he called me up when I was still stationed in California and said, "Hey, Joe, I'm in San Francisco." I said, "What are you doing down there?" Because I didn't even know he knew my number. He said, "I got your number from such and such." Because there's a whole rigmarole of how things get passed around.
Yeah.
He says, "I'm down in San Francisco. I'm leaving for Vietnam in a couple of days." This was March of 1970. Mm-hmm. I said, "Really?" He says, "Come get me. We'll hang out." For sure. And I had known Jim since I was 12 years old.
Yeah.
We had been friends. We had double dated. We were in the Boy Scouts together. We had done a lot of things.
So you and Jim were basically best friends.
Best friends.
Growing up.
Mm. So what he does is, he goes to Vietnam, and then a couple months later, I get my orders for Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
But he's stationed in Saigon, and he's stationed in MAC-3 headquarters, Military Air Command,
mm-hmm.
or Army Command, Vietnam. He has an excellent position as an artist, doing portraits,
mm-hmm.
graphs, pie charts, all that kind of stuff.
Oh.
But he also has a free ticket to go anywhere he wants in Vietnam
as an artist.
If he wants to do some sketches somewhere, mm-hmm. he has permission. So I'd been there a while, and then I'm coming home on a Sunday morning after working all night,
mm-hmm.
7 o'clock. I'm walking back from getting something to eat at the chow hall. And he hollers up to me. I have my head down. I'm walking in. The sun's getting strong. I'm a little tired. He goes, "Hey, Evan, get your uniform on right. Get that hat on straight." And it was like, "Oh, I just had a long night. Who is this? Mm-hmm. I don't know this person." I look up and it's like, "It's Jim Rose." Mm-hmm. "Hey, Jim, hey, dude." Yeah. So it was our buddy, old buddy, buddy. Mm-hmm.
This concludes our boundary stories. We hope you liked them, and we hope that you learned a lot about your boundaries and yourself as well. Thank you.